Good morning, 813 on KION. Welcome back to the program. Mark Carbonaro with you, and thank you for joining us here on this Monday morning. We started out another work week, and we're going to spend a few minutes here talking with Tim Cagle, who is a presentation and media consultant based in D.C. He works with executives, politicians, and business professionals to craft their messages and refine their delivery skills. And some of Tim's clients have included people like GlaxoSmithKline, Cisco Systems, the Harvard Business School, the Staubach Company, and also some politicians as well. And so we're going to talk about a brand new book Tim has written. It's a little handbook. This is great for anybody in business who's got to make presentations, which is basically everybody in business. And it's called The Exceptional Presenter. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, what is an exceptional presenter?
Well, the title of the book really goes back to college, where I was a communications minor, and I've always watched people present, studied presentations. I ran a speakers bureau where I booked speakers for about a decade. In the last 20 years, I've coached and trained presenters. And I found that over the years in studying the truly exceptional presenters, they had six characteristics, and they're represented by the Open Up acronym, the subtitle of the book, Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room, in that these exceptional presenters, they're organized, not only in the way they structure their message, but in looking organized as they present. They're passionate. Passion is all delivery. They engage an audience. They do everything they can to connect. And then they're natural, meaning they are more conversational than speechy or scripted. And then the up part of Open Up is they understand the audience. That's the only way to connect. And then they practice. They work to refine their skills.
Okay. And as far as, and this looks really interesting, the Open Up concept, but you talk about identifying one, two, or three critical points that the audience must remember. So that's part of being organized. You know, one of the, I think, is a failure with people when they give a presentation is that they try and jam too much information into a short period of time, and they don't understand that they're not there to impart all the information, all the knowledge that they have on a particular topic, but just the salient points that are going to whet that individual's appetite or the audience's appetite for more information.
Well, and the other fact part of it is it's the fact that attention spans are incredibly short.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the studies and mix them up, the average adult undivided attention span is only about 15 to 30 seconds, where you have somebody's undivided attention. So if you don't have extremely concise message, or even be able to frame right up front in the first part of the presentation, here are the two takeaways I'd like you to leave here with, and then state those. They're more likely to hear them during the body of the presentation if you tell them right up front what they're going to hear.
And then they'll pay attention to listen for it when it comes.
Exactly, and they're more likely to hear it. And then you say it at the beginning, you say it in the presentation, and then at the very end, even after the Q&A, you can say, if there are no other questions, keep in mind those two points. So they've heard them at least three times, and there's a good chance they'll have registered in their brain at least once if you say it three times.
So who is this book going to benefit?
Anybody who opens their mouth to speak. On the cover of the book, all the background words, I had the title, and then my goal on this book was to let people know that no matter what your position is, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're, you know, in medicine they call it bedside manner, it's really communication skills. If you're a student looking for a job, interviewing, anytime we open our mouth to speak, we are a public speaker. And that the overriding goal of the book is to redefine the way people think of what they think of as a presenter, because it's anytime you open your mouth to speak. If I leave a voicemail message for you, that's a presentation.
Okay. And what about the physical posture? I mean, obviously the physical language is important, you know, your body language that you give off to an audience. So what's a good posture, a good body language, and what's a negative one?
Well, the one to avoid and the most common posture I see out there, most common presenter's position, is what I call the T-Rex. I refer to it as the T-Rex in the book. You know, the T-Rex has those little arms that dangle out in front of it. And you watch presenters, and they'll stand there with their hands just hanging in front of their bodies, and they flail. There's useless hand movements. So as a base position, if one is standing in front of any size audience, whether it's 2 or 200, is just to relax your hands down at your side.
Mm-hmm.
The way, if you go back to biology class in high school and think of how the skeleton is hanging on the wall, that's the way the skeletal structure is designed to stand, with the hands relaxed at the side. And as a presenter, what I've found, when somebody starts a presentation like that, or between gestures and movements, if they go back to that base position, it looks more seasoned. It looks like they've been there before. They're confident. They're not defensive. They're not reactive to something. They're just in command.
What about using a podium, good or bad?
If possible, avoid the podium. It's just a barrier between the presenter and the audience. In some situations, you just can't avoid it because that's the way the room's set up. Maybe that's the only microphone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, just have the hands inside on the podium or the lectern. They don't have to be at your side. But I would try to avoid grabbing on the outside. People start doing the drum roll routine, or they're grabbing onto the thing so tight as if this ship goes down, I hope this thing floats. So, to try to maintain that good erect posture, great eye contact as you communicate.
Yeah, I've seen the president do that a few times. He grabs the podium on both sides and leans into the microphone.
Yeah, he does. You know, and it's funny that you mention that is because in the last debates, in the last elections, the first debate, he got in a habit out on the stump when he was out doing his stump speeches to lean that one elbow on the lectern, kind of leaning on the lectern.
Right.
And he did that during the debate, and people were saying, well, I think he looked tired. And my point was he wasn't tired. That's just a habit that he's gotten into. But the nonverbal, when somebody's leaning on something, generally you think they're tired. They need a rest.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about speaking positions. There's the fig leaf position, the hands in the pockets, the parade rest, the hands on hips, the arms crossed. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of these. For example, if you're a speaker and you have the habit of speaking to an audience with your hands in your pockets, what are you communicating to them?
Well, I've seen two ends of the spectrum. One is when you watch somebody who's tentative, they're passive, they don't want to be there, there's a natural kind of recoiling in that hands in the pockets. It's comfortable, everything's tight, everything's together. But it doesn't send the message to the audience that the audience's time is valuable and I'm not going to waste 1 second of time. It's too passive. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, you have that senior executive who's up there pacing back and forth in front of the audience, hands in the pockets, you know, every now and then stops to take a drag off the cigarette, puts it back down. And just almost kind of an arrogance about it.
Right.
But what I talk about in the book as far as establishing a good base posture, the reason we have to do that and the reason because it has to become habit is because under pressure, Mark, if I nail you with a question and you're in front of a group, your body is going to seek to be comfortable.
Right.
And if you're most comfortable fidgeting with your ring, that's what you're going to do under pressure. If you're most comfortable sticking the hands in the pockets, that's what's going to happen. If you're most comfortable with hands behind the back, your hands are going to go behind your back.
Yeah.
And the nonverbal message is really based on the studies. The nonverbal message is more powerful than anything we say. It's more powerful than the words we use.
You know, I got to ask you about this. I can remember years ago when I was in a Lions Club, there was a fellow in our club, a German guy, and he would get up to speak about some issue that he was really passionate about. And about halfway through his address to the club, His left hand would come out, and his right hand would come down, and he would start striking, you know, with a closed fist. He'd start striking his palm as he was making his point. What was he communicating to us?
Well, our expressiveness, it wants to come out. Everything inside of us wants to come out. That's what I was saying, nervous energy, when people are pacing, nervous energy likes to come out the feet where we're pacing around, or the hands where we're fidgeting, mm-hmm. or the eyes where our eyes are darting around. And when somebody has that same motion, even Bill Clinton, think about Bill Clinton. You know how he would hold that, his thumb would hold that forefinger down, and he'd kind of wave it at us. And they get in the habit of doing that, and that becomes distracting. Now, all of a sudden, that becomes the focus of the presentation rather than what the words are.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned that. That is the one enduring image that I have of Bill Clinton in my mind is the time that he pointed his finger at the audience, and I don't remember what he was saying. He was denying something, but
He said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah, exactly, and he's just pointing his finger. That's what I remember, and at that point, I turned off his message because I said, oh, he's lying to me.
Right.
8:22, Tim Cagle's our guest. We'll continue with him right after these on KION.
So I'm in my GMC. Highway crew's got the freeway down to one lane. And I'm watching this guy work. Now, either my truck's really tall or that guy's really short. Well, he's average height, but he's standing in a pothole that must go down to China. Gets me thinking, even though my GMC's pretty rugged, driving every day in this rock pile they call a road can't be good for its alignment, which makes it a good time to visit my GMC dealer and roll right down the Goodwrench service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Homeowners, if there is a way to lower your mortgage payment by up to 50%, would you want to know about it? Of course you would. Here's the secret. Quicken Loans. That's right. Quicken Loans with their new exclusive Secure Advantage loan. Write this number down. 800-983-7188. Secure Advantage allows you to choose the payment you want every month. You can pay more if you want, or make a minimum payment that's around 50% less than what you're paying right now. That could free up all kinds of cash. Plus, with Secure Advantage, you can lock in a rate that's fixed for years. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-983-7188. Give them 5 minutes, and you could cut your payment up to 50% and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can get approved right over the phone, and Quicken Loans never has prepayment penalties. So call right now at 800-983-7188 and get the Secure Advantage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-983-7188.
Looking to enhance your company's security and appearance by adding employee ID cards or event badges? Security Direct Identification is a full-service ID design, equipment supply, and service company. Whether your organization needs a complete ID card system, a single employee ID card, or just help with your existing system, SDI has equipment and supplies ranging from blank cards, ink ribbons, custom lanyards with your organization's name printed on them, to over 4,000 accessories. Call 422-SAFE. Again, that's 422-SAFE. SDI provides on-site service for your convenience.
824 1460 KION, more stimulating talk radio. Mark Carbonero with you. Thank you for joining us. Coming up in just a few minutes, 835 this morning, Tom Carvey and Lawrence Samuels join us from Common Ground. We'll be talking about property rights vis-a-vis Measure A. Where do they intersect and what happens to them? And Tim Cagle's our guest right now as we're continuing to talk about the exceptional presenter. That is his brand new book, A Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room. And boy, that's sometimes that's half the battle. You can have the greatest arguments in the world, or at least the best ideas, but like Lee Iacocca says in the book, Tim, if you can't put them across, you're dead in the water.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think a lot of people do not realize that. And a lot of people don't think of themselves as presenters, mm-hmm. even though they're presenting internally within an organization. Mm-hmm. But an engineer can have a great idea, but if the person is unable to communicate it, unable to have the person really visualize the impact of this idea, it goes nowhere.
This is a presenting job, the radio.
Oh,
on a daily basis, whether you're playing music or doing a talk show, it's the same kind of thing.
Well, you know what's interesting, Mark? They did studies at UCLA to find out where your impact comes from. And Dr. Albert Mehrabian found that 7% of your impact is determined by the words you use. 38% is determined by your voice, how confident, how comfortable you are. And 55% is determined nonverbally.
Okay.
In your situation, they did it where the person wasn't there, so they didn't have the nonverbals. And in that case, for example, on radio or on a conference call or on a voicemail, 84% of your impact is determined by your voice, how confident, how comfortable you sound.
Mm-hmm. What about volume when people are up in front of a crowd speaking? What's the proper volume to use?
Well, volume's important because people tend to associate a strong voice with confidence, and they associate a weak voice with lack of confidence. So it's critically important to present to the person, the furthest person from you in the room, the person in the very back should be able to hear you at a conversational level. And even in a small room, if you're doing some kind of a presentation, maybe it's a PTA meeting or a proposal and you have 20 people in the room, if you can get some kind of microphone, some kind of projection system, and your voice isn't real strong, I would strongly encourage the use of that, because then you don't have to yell where it feels like you're yelling. And a lot of times when you take it to that yelling stage, the voice changes. A great example is Hillary Clinton. When she's up in front of a very large audience and she's doing that, she gets it right in that, you heard it from John Kerry and other political people, where it kind of, nah, 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 you know, where it just sounds like they're yelling at you instead of having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Where Reagan was just phenomenal. President Reagan was phenomenal at using his voice, no matter what size the audience, to make it sound like you're in the living room having a one-on-one conversation with the guy.
Yeah, he was very effective at that. You know, another president who was pretty effective speaking from the podium, and he didn't raise his voice, was Richard Nixon. I know a lot of people don't remember that about Nixon, but he was not one to raise his voice. He always spoke in a calm, assured manner.
Yeah, Nixon, again, it's
it was just
been
the
a
shifty
while, but
eyes that got people.
Yeah, right, exactly. That was huge. And that first debate, when he was sweating through his suit and he had he hadn't shaved that afternoon.
Yeah.
Had the 6 o'clock shadow. But Nixon was interesting because he was very smart, very articulate, but he could simplify his message. And like you said, he didn't have to yell about it, but he made things very easy to understand.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's also an important key for speakers is to make it easy. You know, you're not there to wow people with your command of the details and the minutiae of the argument. You can save that later.
Right. And then what I always say is people don't want to know everything you know. Just tell them what's relevant for them and highlight the key points that will benefit them as they leave the room.
You know, I had a program director tell me that almost 30 years ago. I said, you know, it's great you know a lot about Elvis Presley. Just don't tell me everything over the intro of the record. Just use, he said, this is the key. Just use one thing that you know.
Yes.
When you play the song, you're going to play the song 100 times. So save what you have and spread it out over those 100 times.
Exactly. Well, you know what, from the pharmaceutical industry, their own studies show that they have to say something to a physician 6 to 7 times before the physician even later recognizes they've heard it before. So
Wow. As
the busier people you're talking to, the more articulate you have to be, the more defined, and really to slow down and make sure they understand that point.
So are you saying my doctor's not going to listen to me?
Well,
oh, my God.
You know, I spoke to a group of physicians recently, and I was just emphasizing, because they don't think of themselves as presenters.
Right.
And I said, what is more important than when you walk into a room and a spouse is there or the family of somebody who's in serious physical condition, that you communicate and connect with them? Is it more important that they understand the situation and you sit down and you relate one-on-one with them with the eye contact and show some empathy, or that you go in and give the medical mumbo-jumbo and walk out of the room?
Right.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah. And by the way, as far as looking at your speaking skills and when you're evaluating yourself, you recommend that people should tape themselves, videotape themselves, and watch it for the flaws and correct those. And it's important to be assured and self-confident, but you can go too far to where you look calculated, and then you lose authenticity.
No, I agree, and that's one of the acronym NATURAL is critically important, because we want to be in a position where we're conversational, we're spontaneous. It looks and sounds more off the cuff, because as soon as we start getting scripted, programmed talking points, we shut people down.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to your videotape is the best way to improve these skills, because I've found even very seasoned executives, when I work with them for the first time, they've never been evaluated on tape.
Mm.
And this could be late in their career, or somebody's trying to become a partner at an accounting firm or a law firm, and they've never been critiqued before. That's why I wrote the book to be more like a workbook, where you can tape yourself and then go to one of the assessment forms and try to objectively evaluate that person up on the screen. Even act like it's not you. Act mm-hmm. like you don't even know the person as you critique that person, because it's tough. I mean, we're going to be our toughest critics when we're watching ourselves on tape.
Say, Tim, watching the debates, you know, the first couple of debates have been on the Democrat and Republican side. Anybody you've seen really has it down, and then anybody you see that needs work?
Well, there's so far in these debates, when you have 8 or 9 other people up there, it makes it difficult. I think the goal, from what I've seen, the goal from the front runners has been just don't make a major gaffe, don't say something that's going to trigger controversy, and try to get through these until the field narrows down a little bit. If you look at that, the open part of the acronym, the organized, passionate, engaging, and natural, somebody like Hillary Clinton, she's very organized. I mean, she's definitely somewhat guarded in what she's going to say. She knows what she's going to say and what she's not going to say. On the passionate side, pretty decent, not great. On the engaging side, she starts losing it a little bit. She's just as engaging as Bill Clinton was. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton just doesn't have that connection, and
right.
I'm not quite sure why. And even on the natural side, I think it's her. I believe her natural tendency, communication standpoint, is to be boom. Here's the way it stands. Here's the bottom line. But I think there's a lot of advisors saying, hey, you've got to soften it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to do. I think when your natural determination is to be bottom line, here it is, this is where I stand, and somebody's telling you, no, you've got to engage and connect more, I think it's hard for somebody like that to do it, and that's the way it comes off. As opposed to, say, Barack Obama, who is incredibly strong in the engaging part. I mean, he just looks comfortable. He looks very natural. He smiles easily. He's got an engaging smile. And he seems to connect with people on a level that Hillary doesn't. But his message, I don't think, is as organized.
Yeah.
So his goal is to stay somewhat general as long as he can without getting pinned down to a specific position that everybody can attack.
You know, I would say on the Republican side, I think that Mr. Romney, while he's very smooth and polished, he looks a little too smooth sometimes when he's answering questions.
Well, you know, this might date me a little bit, but he can be fantastic. And then there's times where he turns into Wink Martindale. Remember
yes.
Wink Martindale?
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
it's almost
yes.
it's
yeah, like a game show host.
Right? Exactly. He's giving a great answer. And then all of a sudden he breaks into Wink Martindale. Here's the next question.
Well, just as long as he doesn't start reciting the deck of 52 cards. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, the book is The Exceptional Presenter, Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room. Where do we find it?
You can find it, should find it in any bookstore and on Amazon.com, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim. Stay on the line for just a moment, all right?
Thank you.
Okay. Coming up on 8:34, and our segment with Common Ground is next.
This is Newsbreak. The death toll from 2 days of fighting between the Lebanese army and Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorists has now risen to 71. Thick smoke can be seen billowing from the Nahr el-Bared camp, which is home to 40,000 Palestinians. Well, motorists continue to feel the pain at the pump. The latest Lundberg survey shows average gasoline prices spiked yet again, another 11 cents up a gallon in the last 2 weeks. That brings the national average for self-service regular unleaded to $3.18 a gallon. Debate is set to begin today in the Senate on a bipartisan immigration reform bill that was crafted by a dozen senators. While the deal has the endorsement of President Bush, it faces an uphill battle in the Senate. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 8, the NASDAQ up 21 points, the S&P 500 up 4. There's more news at usaradio.com. I'm Katie Robin.
This program is brought to you in part by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, California's largest taxpayer advocacy organization. The Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, which brought us Proposition 13 in 1978, continues the fight today in the legislature, the courts, and in the media on behalf of all California homeowners. To learn more, visit their website at hjta.org. This message was paid for by our friends at Amrock Masonry at 449-1565.
If you're looking for a better way to clean the air in your home or office, you need the all-new Ozone Light. It's as simple as changing your light bulbs. The Ozone Light looks like a normal spiral type of light bulb. It screws in most standard light sockets, but it's not a normal light bulb. It's coated with titanium dioxide. It's completely safe, but this unique coating kills most airborne bacteria, mold spores, and neutralizes odors. Just one light cleans the air in an entire room and lasts 8 times longer than the normal light bulb. If you have smokers, if you have allergies, if you have pet odors, mold, or mildew, you need the Ozone Light. It will wipe them out. And you have our word. If you're not satisfied with the way the Ozone Light cleans the air in your home, simply return it for a full refund. Here's the number to call to order.
800-380-3742. 800-380-3742. Save up to $100 now. 800-380-3742. 800-380-3742.
So I'm in my GMC. Highway crew's got the freeway down to one lane. And I'm watching this guy work. Now, either my truck's